Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Those big swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice. KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go.
Let's go.
On a Wednesday evening, we welcome you in. It's time for another Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening, another full two-hour edition of the program. As always, if you want to chime in with us, you've got multiple opportunities and ways to do so. You can call or text 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900 is how you call or text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air, or... I guess that's it. Call, text, tweet. That's what we've got going. We need to start doing the Odyssey voice messages again. We'll start that later on in the week. For those of you who listen very intently on an everyday basis and know all things going on with Sports Open Line, it's amazing. I can't tell you how often I meet listeners and they tell me things about the show, and I'm like, how do you know that? So if you are a very, very avid listener of KMOX and of this very program, you know that you used to hear from sports producer extraordinaire Matt Pajeski all the time. But you know what? He's part of Chris and Amy now. And then we went through a period where there were a bunch of other people in here. Well, Kyle Sixta is now the guy, and he's here on an everyday basis. So things where I'm going with this is things like the voice messaging on the Odyssey app and just the consistency and all that. We'll be doing that. So, I've got to do that. So those of you who like to leave voice messages for other shows here on KMOX, we'll start tomorrow. We'll do that tomorrow, and you can do that. But here's what we've got coming up on. We got a fun program today. We are going to talk baseball. We're going to talk hockey. Bernie Miklas is going to join us in 9 minutes for his weekly hit here on Sports Open Line. The number one question I'm going to ask him, because our conversations with Bernie have largely centered around the Cardinals and what the Cardinals can do this offseason. I want to get his thoughts on really two things. He's very connected. He knows people, things going on. The Cardinals are very good at kind of being very, they keep things inside and are somewhat insulated. And when they're ready to announce things, they're ready to announce things. And it's hard to get that information out before they are ready for it to be out. I am curious how things are potentially going over there in the additions that they want to make to the organization. So I'll ask Bernie if he's got any insight on that. And I also, we've danced around it a little bit. And because I don't have an answer to this, the number one narrative about the Cardinals this offseason regarding payroll going down is, what does that look like? Does payroll go down because they replace Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson with some combination of Michael McGreevy, Gordon Graceffo, Quinn Matthews, just low cost homegrown talent? Or, and is that what results in payroll going down? Or does payroll go down because they trade Wilson Contreras? They trade Nolan Arenado? They trade Sonny Gray? I don't know. And those are two very different things. And the team next year looks very different. And I'm not convinced the Cardinals actually know right now. And again, this is kind of connected to the TV situation. And I thought it was interesting that, and we talked about it on the show yesterday, I don't want to spend too much time on the TV stuff. I thought it was interesting yesterday that the teams that announced that they were not going to be sticking with Bally, the Brewers, the Guardians, the Twins, and the Rangers, and those first three teams, the Brewers, the Guardians, and the Twins, they all announced that they're going to be doing a direct-to-consumer product that'll be available on cable, be available on satellite, and also be available via streaming with no blackouts inside the market. That same announcement was not made by the Cardinals. And part of that might be because of the legalese, because the last time the Diamond Sports Group people were in court, or not court, but in their bankruptcy hearing, they canceled contracts for a number of teams, but not all the teams. Like the joint venture projects, they could not legally cancel yet, and the Cardinals were under that group. So part of me wonders, were the Cardinals not announced in that group yesterday because legally they can't be yet? Because I'm pretty sure that Bally Sports Midwest will not be airing Cardinals games next year. I'm not 100% convinced. Bally Sports will still exist in some form. I know like the Miami Marlins are redoing their deal with Bally Sports Florida, and in all likelihood, the Marlins are still going to be on Bally Sports next year, but not many are, and I don't think the Cardinals are. I don't know that for sure. Don't have any inside information on this. I don't think the Cardinals are going to be connected to Bally next season, but what is that actually going to look like? And then how does that impact payroll? Because the Cardinals are going to, I'm sure they already have their estimates where if they go down this path, it's going to create this much money now, but this much money years from now. If they go down this path, maybe it creates a little bit more money now, but you know, more money down the line. You got to remember, if the Cardinals take the broadcasting in-house, all of a sudden those broadcasters who have been employees of Bally Sports Midwest, they're going to become employees of the Cardinals. All the technical and production stuff that has been owned by Bally or rented by Bally many times by third-party providers, all of a sudden the cost to do that is going to fall to the Cardinals or fall to MLB Network, who's going to be producing these games the way that they are in other places. So it's just a very complicated situation, and a lot of stuff that you don't think of is involved with this, and it, at the end of the day, it is going to impact payroll. So does that mean that in this first year of whatever it's going to look like moving forward from a TV standpoint, if there's a large expenditure that goes along with that, in addition to the large expenditure that's going along with completely redoing the player development system, well, that all plays into whether or not you're going to have a situation where payroll really, really, really goes down for next season. So we'll talk about that coming up in just a bit. So in addition to Bernie Miklas, we'll talk Blues hockey with Luke Korak at 6:35. And Mike Farron from MLB Network Radio, one of the greatest human beings walking the face of the earth, he'll join us at 7:20. Bernie joins us next. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Back at it on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Keeping our eyes on what's going on in the NLDS. They're in the sixth inning. Phillies lead the Mets 1-0. Phillies need to a win to get to a game number 5, which would be back in Philadelphia. We'll keep you updated as the this game goes along. Right now, happy to do our weekly hit with Bernie Miklas. Bernie, always great to talk to you. How much have you enjoyed these playoffs so far? I've really enjoyed them.
Hey, Matt, good to be with you. I've been like sort of slowly easing my way into it. It's hard to explain, but I was not able to watch as much as I would have liked, but I've been sticking with it pretty closely now. This is a great game, as you alluded to. I'm really looking forward to seeing if the Royals can beat the Yankees tonight to take a 2-1 lead. And then that game between San Diego and L.A. Tonight down at Petco Park, that should be a doozy too, with the Dodgers on the brink of elimination. And you have to wonder if they go down, what that might mean for Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager, because they've had a lot of flameouts, as everybody knows, early in the postseason in recent years.
Yeah, he has been on, you know, so many times Dodgers fans have been calling for him to lose his job, and obviously they win the World Series, but it happens in the COVID year. He's won so much there, so at the surface level, it feels like you can't get rid of that guy, but at the same time, with the money that they spend and the lack of postseason success, at some point, you would think they may make that decision.
No doubt about it. And listen, they've been all torn up by injuries, and we all know that. And then the other thing is, even in this series, with, you know, Freddie Freeman's not himself, and, you know, he's barely able to play. He's toughing it out on that ankle. But It would really be embarrassing, I think, for them to get, you know, just wiped out by the Padres again. And since we're mentioning the Padres, you just have to talk about how good they are. And they've been the best team in baseball since the All-Star break. And Mike Schilt's got a lot of talent to work with. But my gosh, I'm happy for him and how well he's done out there. He's done an exceptional job.
You know, historically, when you look back over, say, like the last 30 years, whether or not you finish the season strong or not, it actually doesn't have a correlation to when, how you do in the playoffs. But over the last couple years, and especially this year, you look at San Diego, you look at Detroit, you look at the Mets. Right now, it really feels like these teams that are finishing strong are bringing that right into the playoffs.
And yeah, and I don't know whether if there's anything to attribute that to. I mean, is it perhaps the new format? It's still a new format. This is only the third year of it with the extra wild card in each league. You know, are the teams that get the bye and don't have to play right away, does that actually put them at a disadvantage? I know that was said a couple of years ago that maybe that was a theory. Maybe there was something to that. I'm not sure. I know when Tony La Russa was managing, whenever he had a situation where the team wrapped up their series early in the postseason, and then they had to wait around for like to see who they would play. He would always keep his team really busy. I mean, they would work out, they'd have simulated games, they'd do all kinds of things just so they would stay sharp. And I thought that there was some merit to that, and I know that La Russa felt strongly that it really did help a team because you just didn't want them sitting around.
Well, this for the Cardinals, this is the offseason of Heim Bloom redoing the player development system. There's so much heavy lifting that goes along with that. A lot of new hires are expected in addition to some more infrastructure type things. I know you're pretty connected inside of what's going on. Are you hearing anything about how that work is going here in the early stages?
I know that he's interviewed a bunch of people already, and he's got more interviews lined up. Now, who he's talking to, I have no idea. And they're going to keep that really, really tight. But I also know that there's a really good relationship between Heim Bloom and Bill DeWitt Jr., the chairman of the Cardinals. My theory is that I think I've shared this with you before, but for some of our listeners, you know, Bill DeWitt's thing has always been player development. It's always been like the Branch Rickey started the farm system. It's been a Cardinals sacred baseball tradition, and they got away from it in terms of having a great minor league system. And that was always his thing. That's why he brought in Jeff Luhnow, and Jeff Luhnow did a wonderful job, and the Cardinals went on an incredible run because they had such a pipeline going. And I think Bill DeWitt got away from it, but I think Heim Bloom has kind of rekindled Bill DeWitt's passion for this. And I know that they just have an exceptional relationship. And I know that Bill DeWitt is going to give Heim Bloom everything he needs to get that job done as far as getting the Cardinals system up to working order, updated order, and actually to, you know, possibly be one of the best in the industry again. So, you know, I'm curious about how this will all end, but I know Heim Bloom is very happy with Bill DeWitt's attitude on this and the fact that he's going to be given everything he needs to get this done right.
I want to get your gut feeling on something because we know payroll is likely to come back this year for the Cardinals. They admitted that. What they would not admit to at the press conference was what that's really going to look like. If it's just the case of middle-tier players like Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson being replaced by cost-controlled minor leaguers, or whether it's a more extreme type thing where players like Wilson Contreras and Sonny Gray and Nolan Arenado and big contracts like that could potentially be moved. Do you have a gut feeling on what it's going to look like and how extreme the payroll cut going into next season might look?
I don't have a good feeling on it because I think the Cardinals are, you know, sort of keeping that under wraps. But there's no doubt in my mind, for example, they're going to take a long, hard look at Ryan Helsley and whether he's their most marketable player, because there's some really, really good teams out there who don't have a closer or anything close to that caliber and could be the missing link. And, you know, Helsley, who's coming off his best season, coming off his healthiest season, which would alleviate some concerns about his injury history, his value will never be higher than it is right now. And if the Cardinals are not seriously going to be a contender in 2025, and they are all but certain to lose Ryan Helsley to free agency after next season, I think it would be irresponsible not to solicit offers to see what you could get for him, because he'll be gone after one more season anyway. And the other thing about that, you know how relievers are, and Ryan Helsley's got one of the hardest velo fastballs in the game. If you bring Helsley back, even under the pretense, you say, well, you know, if we're not in any kind of race, we can always trade him at the deadline. Okay, what happens if he blows the right elbow out? Mm-hmm. And then you've lost any chance you have to get a nice package for him. And there have been relievers. The reliever market is a really lucrative market for teams that have an elite reliever and are willing to move him in a trade. You can get an overpay for that from whoever you're doing business with.
Might also be a mechanism to get out from under a contract like Miles Michaelis. Say, oh, you want Ryan Helsley and his cost-controlled salary? Sure, we're going to package Miles Michaelis right along with him.
Yeah, I never thought about that one. You know, there are teams that always like to have somebody who can chew up a lot of innings and, you know, figuring, you know what, he takes the ball every fifth day. He's reliable that way. He'll give us plenty of innings. He'll get his share of quality starts. So he might be marketable more than perhaps we realize.
Yeah. Before we get you out of here, we'll talk a lot of Blues hockey here over the next few weeks. But that final 30 minutes that they played yesterday after being down 2-0 to 3 goals in 2 minutes, the strong defense in the third period. We didn't know what they were going to look like defensively this year. It's just one game, but that final half of the final 30 minutes, if they can play like that this year, that's going to be a good hockey team.
I really like that. It's one game, but listen, they were really miserable early on, and you're wondering, like, are they on some kind of sleep deprivation? Is it a time zone switch? Where are they? You know, and they just needed one little boost of momentum, and then the rocket fuel kicked in, and they were flying around. And it was great to see Kyrou do what he did. It was great to see Philip Roberg. I thought it's like he had great presence on the ice and scored the goal that tied the game at 2-2. And I like the way Holloway played. You know, so Broberg and Holloway, the two guys they got from Edmonton on the bold move by Doug Armstrong to extend them offer sheets, thinking that Edmonton would not be able to match. That's exactly how it worked out. It was a successful gamble. I like the Blues. I think they're faster. I think they're fresher. I think they're younger in some spots. And the goaltending from day one, from game one, just picked up where it left off last year. Jordan Binnington was fantastic.
Bertie, can you tell us a little bit about who's bringing you on today?
Saliga Heating and Cooling, man. Always really happy to mention my friends at Saliga Heating and Cooling. You know, they've been serving St. Louis families since 1927. And Dan Saliga is the fourth owner-operator of the proud family business. They're an independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. They will take great care of you, just as they've been doing for nearly 100 years with St. Louis families. They take care of the Miklas family for the last 15, 16 years. Whatever we may have, whether it's been an emergency, whether it's been just something needs to be fixed, there's something's making noise, whether it be your heating or your cooling, and you're wondering if something's about to go. Whatever it may be, help is on the way with Saliga Heating and Cooling, and they're trustworthy, they're honest, they have great credibility that they've built since 1927, and they do it all, residential work, commercial work, all makes and models, repairs, updates, and they have that, if you need new equipment, they have that new American Standard equipment here for you. So they have a maintenance program to help make sure you're ready for all seasons. They check out your heat before the cold weather. They check out your air conditioning before the hot weather. And you have peace of mind that everything is in working order. So if you're curious about you need some questions answered, things like that, you have a problem, call them at Saliga Heating and Cooling, 314-481-7333, 481-7333, and check them out online at SaligaHeatingandCooling.com, and they'll take care of the rest.
Back out on the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Yesterday, the Blues looked good for the final 30 minutes of the game. They were down 2-0, were being completely outplayed, and then all of a sudden, they scored 3 goals in 2 minutes, and they were able to get the win yesterday. Good win in Seattle. Let's bring on to the program somebody who covers the Blues and does a great job with it. He is Lou Korak, covers the Blues for NHL.com and also the Hockey News. You follow him on Twitter at LKorak10. Lou, always appreciate you spending some time with us. How are you?
I'm good, Matt. What's going on?
Not much. You know, something that happened yesterday, and I wasn't even completely aware of it happening as it was happening, and I realized it when it was reported on really afterwards, was the decision that was made in-game where Pavel Buchnevich was basically moved off the second-line center for a shift here and a shift there to step up with Thomas and Kyrou. And it's something kind of interesting to see that move being made in the game, and it did have some impact. What were your thoughts on that kind of line manipulation inside of the game?
Well, I think more than anything is in that first period, you're probably Drew Bannister and the coaching staff, and you're seeing, you know, we're not getting much going right now in the offensive zone. And when they had those opportunities, and when they had offensive zone draws, you're going to try to get your best players out there to kind of get them going. And there just wasn't a lot of continuity early on in that game. And, you know, a lot of the zone time was spent in the blue zone. Jordan Binnington was busy. So you don't have Thomas touching the puck in the offensive zone. You don't have Kyrou touching the puck a lot. You didn't have Buchnevich touching the puck a lot. They were, for a lack of a term, they really weren't playing on their front feet, or you hear coaches say it a lot, they weren't playing on their toes. And so when they had the opportunity to get those guys out there, you get an offensive zone draw, you kind of change things up just to kind of shift some stuff around. And, you know, once they finally were able to tilt the ice a little bit, I think they were able to balance those lines out again. But I think that was more just a coaching strategy more than anything, just to get those guys some puck touches, not necessarily because, you know, the other, you know, the lines weren't really going. And really, I mean, to be honest with you, and nobody was really going. But, you know, you want to get your best players touching the puck, especially in the offensive zone. I think that was more or less anything, just to get those guys involved in the game. And if it had to be together, that's what they were going to do. But you saw pretty quickly that they were able to get the lines back the way they were, and things started running a little bit more smoothly.
The chapters of that game, the stories of the game, is a first period where you're outplayed, but Binnington stands on his head. And then first 10 minutes of the second period, it kind of continues in that direction, but Binnington gives up a couple. Then all of a sudden, they score the three goals in 2 minutes and take the lead in the third period. And then defensively in the third period, they just absolutely lock it down in a tough place to play in Seattle on opening day. What does it say? I thought the most impressive part, maybe even more so than the three goals in 2 minutes, was the fact that they held that 3-2 lead for the final 20 minutes and defensively looked very good during that period. What does that say about this club that they were able to react and respond after a tough first 30 minutes?
Well, the fact that they're starting to grow, and, you know, it was a small sample size, but I think it shows them that, you know, you add a Ryan Suter, you add a young guy like Broberg, he's getting more responsibility there. Justin Falk is back healthy. I thought that defensive pair probably was their best in the game. I thought Broberg and Falk were exceptional in that game. And I know, you know, for all the stats people that live on that stuff religiously, maybe the numbers didn't indicate that pairing played well together. I go a lot by the eye test, and the eye test told me that those guys played really, really well. And forget about the goal that Broberg just scored, but like you said, they locked it down. Really, they were mindful in their own end. Didn't give up any easy ice, as they like to say it. Didn't give up easy ice. Didn't give up the middle of the ice. Seattle maybe had, by my recollection, maybe one high danger scoring chance in the third period, mm-hmm. and they didn't have a shot on goal for the last 11 minutes and 50 seconds of that game. That's pretty hard to do when you're defending a one-goal game, you're on the road, it's a home opener, like you said, it's a pretty hostile place to play, you're changing time zones in a first game, you're playing an afternoon game. I just thought that they were very businesslike in that third period, and getting a one-goal lead, knowing you got a goalie that's playing well, that kept you in that game, because if that game gets to 3-0, it's game over. I don't think you come back and win that game. But Jordan Binnington gave him a chance to win the game, gave him a chance to get back into that game. And once they finally did, they finally, as a five-man unit, they played in unison and really did a good job of closing that thing out.
Is this going to be a team with the margin of error going to be very thin, that they've got to be on point, especially from a defensive standpoint? If they let it go a little bit, it's a bad situation?
Yeah, I think so. I just don't think that they don't have the luxury of having a superstar, a couple superstar players like, say, an Edmonton does or a Toronto does or a Colorado does, that where you can afford to fall behind in a game. Well, falling behind by two goals in an NHL game is not an easy thing to overcome. So they were able to do that right off the hop. But that's something that they don't want to make a habit of, because they just don't have those game changers, multiple game changers. They've got guys that can turn games around, but some of those teams have multiple game changers that can just flip a switch on a dime and flip it back in your direction if you just get yourself going. But I just think that those are the kind of games that they're probably going to have to win. They're going to have to grind things out the way they do. They're going to have to rely on all four of their lines. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that fourth line. I mean, they were kind of the ones that ignited the fire yesterday. Nathan Walker gets in a little bit of a skirmish there with Vince Dunn, and then you see Alexei Toropchenko follow it up with a fight with Yanni Gourde. I think that was kind of the spark that got things going there a little bit right before the turnaround came. And then Jordan Binnington makes a big save on Bjorkstrand with about a little under 8.5 minutes left in the second period. And that's what I'm saying. If that puck goes in there and it's 3-0, you're not going to win that hockey game. Yeah. He makes a big save there, and then moments later you get your power play going. They just have to have little components in each game fall into place. And I think that's something that, you know, you're going to have to see from this team moving forward if they're going to have any success.
Yeah, it's a great point. And it was talked about in post-game yesterday, the overturn goal to the skirmish to the three goals in 2 minutes. It feels like those three things were very much connected.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. You have to have components fall into place. And, you know, you had each one of them. And, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned, you know, it was clearly an offsides goal, but just something. And it's a guy like Nathan Walker. I mean, this is a guy – I'm just so impressed with this guy. I really am. I mean, he's fought and scratched and clawed to maintain his stance in the league. He's pretty much done it throughout his career. And I think the Blues just have such an appreciation for a guy like that. And just for a player of his presence to understand, hey, here's a situation, here's a spot for me to try to ignite something on our team on the ice. It might be the smallest detail, but you know what? That's all it takes, is just something small to get these guys going. It was. He and Vince Dunn, you know, got into it a little bit, and, you know, it gave some life to the bench. And, you know, within a couple of minutes after that, you get the power play goal. And that's something that they really didn't get last year. I think that was really important yesterday. Their power play, we saw how poor of a start they got off to last year. They were last in the league for a good chunk of the early portion of the season. Getting one right off the hop there was really important. And now all of a sudden it's a one goal game. They started to feed off of it. They started to cycle and grind and really start to work and really turn that game around.
Yeah, and to that point, it's just one game, and all of a sudden things start going bad in games 2, 3, 4, 5. It doesn't matter, but to get two goals from Kyrou when it took him 10 goals to get 10 games to get two goals last year, to get a power play goal, and like you just alluded to, the struggles with the power play last year, the things you wanted to go right in the first game end up going right.
Well, and that's when you have those things go right for you right off the hop, it gives a different feeling in the room. Now, to me, going into that game tomorrow against San Jose, another one of the things that really went against them last year was losing against teams that were below you in the standings. Well, you're going to have that situation tomorrow. San Jose was the worst team one of the worst teams in the league, if not the worst team in the league last year, and they beat you every time. Well, this is an opportunity now. I think this is something that the Blues are really, these players are really going to look at this and say, hey, we can't, if we're going to give ourselves a chance, we can't lose against teams. And granted, you know, it's an NHL team, same thing, 2 points are on the line, but these are the kinds of teams we can't play down to that level if we're going to have any kind of success. I thought they did that far too often last year. That's why they missed the playoffs by, what, 6, 7 points? And, you know, these are two early points in the year where you're facing a Sharks team that continues to rebuild. I think that's something that they're going to be focused on going into the game tomorrow to try to also turn around here this year, aside from some of those other things that we talked about.
Last thing for you, and I'm not trying to get too much into the esoteric minutia of salary cap, but there were some things that happened with Torrey Krug going to a long-term IR, and then they had to bring back Bolduc because the team's a little bit banged up, and that cost them a little bit of money. Are they in an okay spot from a salary cap standpoint?
They are now. I mean, the important thing here is, and this is something that, you know, we've all been following along, and I still learn, you know, this cap situation on a daily basis. We all do. But the most important thing for them was to be as close to the cap ceiling as possible, which they were, which was within $500,000, to be able to maximize how much of the cap space they can utilize from a Torrey Krug. And once they were able to get to that point, you put Torrey Krug on LTIR. Now you're able to utilize the majority of his cap hit. And I believe, without looking at it right now, they're in the five-ish million dollar range. And because Bolduc, not only his cap hit, but also his bonuses count against it now, you're able to bring him into the fold again. And they're in a good spot right now. So if they continue in the trend where they're in this and they're in the hunt, they're going to have some dollars to play with if they get into a situation. I know that's, you know, we got a long way to go before we get there, but they're going to have some dollars where they're going to be able to play with, and also bring back an Oscar Sundquist, who's not too far away, where they're going to be in a spot where they're going to be able to bring somebody in to give them some help if they're in that situation.
Luke Korak is fantastic covering the Blues for NHL.com and also the Hockey News. Follow him on Twitter at LKorak10. Lou, always appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of your week, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again real soon.
You got it, Matt. Take care.
Awesome. Very good. That's Luke Korak joining us here on the program. We have things happening in the NLDS. I'll tell you all about it in just a moment here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
I'm telling you, these playoffs are just so fantastic with what's going on right now in Major League Baseball. Earlier today, how about the Tigers beating the Guardians 3-0? And going on right now, the story, I keep talking about stories. That's going to be something you're going to hear a lot from me, because we are seeing amazing stories being told through games. And today, the Phillies are up 1-0 on the Mets for much of this game. And it's a game where the Mets, if they win, they advance to the NLCS. And they had every opportunity in the first few innings. In fact, Ranger Suarez, the starter for the Phillies today, he becomes the first pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball's postseason to have four hits and two walks given up in the first two innings and not give up a run. He had a whip of 3 through his first two innings and does not give up a run. When stuff like that's happening to you, you just feel like, okay, this is not going to be my day. So I'm sure that's kind of how the Mets were feeling. And then all of a sudden, the Mets start making a little bit more noise and a little bit more noise, and they load the bases in the sixth inning. They had bases loaded, nobody out, and there was an almost foul ball that went foul that would have resulted in a run scoring. I think that was off the bat of Tyrone Taylor. Then there was a weak ground ball where they made the out at home for the first out of the inning. And then Francisco Lindor comes up to the plate, bases loaded. What does he do? Hits a grand slam. And the Mets right now lead the Phillies 4-1. This game is in the bottom of the seventh inning. It's now going to head to the eighth inning. So the Mets are essentially six outs away from advancing to the NLCS. There's so many teams that are really interesting and really compelling. And even like the Padres. You know, Manny Machado's a villain. I don't like Manny Machado at all. Just don't like the guy. Great ball player, not taking anything away from who he is as a baseball player, but he's a villain. But you know what? Every good story needs a good guy and a bad guy. And Manny Machado is playing the part by being the bad guy, and that is added to the storyline of Dodgers-Padres. And you think about the Mets, and you think about the big moments that they've had, that Pete Alonso home run against the Brewers, the Francisco Lindor grand slam today, what they did going in. I thought, we'll talk more about this in the coming days. Thought it was interesting from Bernie Miklos, where he mentioned, does this new playoff format more favor teams that go into the postseason on a run? Because historically, that actually hasn't mattered. It's an interesting thought for sure. We'll continue with Sports Open Line in a moment here on KMOX.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.